He's a renowned trumpeter, composer. He does amazing things in these sort of false dichotomies that we've created called jazz and classical. He's an incredible musician. His name is Hannibal Lokumbe. Good evening, sir.
Greetings, brother. Greetings. Greetings to you.
Greetings. Greetings.
Mm-hmm. Have you been processing all this?
I've mostly just been still and praying and giving thanks, you know, giving thanks as there's something about the birth of this child, this baby that's being born now. Mm-hmm. Something quite extraordinary about it. During the L.A. uprising and the Detroit uprising, of course, there was something about that as well, but there seems to be a deeper kind of message going on now that that the people cannot ignore. And I think it's to the degree that something extraordinarily, profoundly beautiful will come of it. So the mother is having a rough time delivering this baby. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of bloodshed. But when this baby comes out of the womb, it's going to be something to behold.
You have that kind of hope for this baby?
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm a father. I have no right being a father and not mm-hmm. and not being able to see past the pain.
Exactly.
Can you share a personal experience? You've had situations like everyone else who's been on this evening.
Yeah, well, I was on my way to school in Texas City, Texas. I was a junior, and my mother had just bought me a new trumpet. And I was walking, at that time the school's integrated, and I had to walk 2 miles to school and 2 miles back from school. And I had crossed the town that divided the races, which was Texas Avenue in this case. And so I was walking to school to my band class, first class in the morning, and I was trying to think of how to play the song tenderly with vibrato so that I could play it for my mother when I got home. And I'm going through the changes, and going through the sound, the feeling of the song. And all of a sudden, I was set upon by these 5 men, these 5 white men, who jolted me from my ingenious thinking about how to execute this music. And I was brought back into the world with the words, "Hey, nigga, what you doing up here in the white part of town?" And so my grandfather, as a ritual, would always teach the boys how to put into effect a chokehold, and that you were always supposed to look at the one who says the least, the one who talks the most, talks the least. You don't have to worry about them. You have to go for the ones that's silent. So I went for this cat. I went for the alpha wolf and put this chokehold on him, and he just, you know, he started turning blue. And the others were like kicking me, you know, broke my collarbone. And all I had in my mind was that I wasn't going to let them get to my trumpet, man. My trumpet was brand new, $265.85. They could never inflict upon me the kind of pain that my mother would have inflicted upon me had I come back in that trumpet with was broken. She bought that trumpet, man, when our lights and water was off.
She brought that trumpet.
That's
what?
She bought that trumpet for me when our lights and our water was turned off.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's the only argument I ever had with my mother. Like, how could you do that? You know, what kind of sense does that make? She said, oh, baby, you have great work to do, and you need a great instrument to do great work.
She knew that you would bring the. She knew that you'd bring the light and the fluidity.
Yes.
But at any rate, some brothers on the garbage truck saw what was happening. They came to my rescue. And I went on to the band hall, and you know, music heals. Music makes hard soft, and hot cold, and madness joy. You know, so. I must say to you, when I played that song tenderly, that encounter added nuances to it that I would not have otherwise had. And so, you know, all my life, brother, I've been faced with the beast of racism and that kind of thing. But I learned. How to do something extremely important, and it has to do with spiritual alchemy. And so I turn lead into gold. So I turn the pain into beauty. You know.
Amen. Yeah. Yes.
I mean that's traditional with our people, right?
Yes. Yeah.
You know those hymns they sang when the lash was put on their cutting their skin. Those hymns contain all of that, and it contains beyond that. It goes beyond the torn skin. It's mm-hmm. It's talking about what's possible as a human being on earth as it is in heaven. You know?
Mm. Mm.
So these, you know, our people have always struggled. We're masters at struggling, and we're master. Social alchemist.
Yeah.
You know, the music, the beauty didn't come from the person holding the whip in their hand, came from the people who felt the whip. And I'd much rather be on that side. I'd much rather be on the side of the pain than the side of the hate.
Mm. Oh, my goodness.
Because can't nothing come from the hate but death. So... They were beating me, trying to beat me to death, but had no idea of how that was translated and transformed into the soul of my mother when I played it. You know, I don't even play that song anymore because it brings back the look on my mother's face when she heard it. That was my gift for her, for her. Believing in me.
Mm-hmm.
So this thing ain't got nothing to do with hatred, man.
Amen.
Only love can conquer hate.
So what are you doing? What did you feel this? Just out of curiosity, this is Oren speaking. You know,
I'm sorry.
This is Oren speaking right now. I just got a question.
Hey, brother.
For you. What's going on, man? What's going on, man?
When you
woke up this morning, because I had that moment, I woke up this morning and I felt, I don't know how to put it into words, and that's probably why I'm asking you this question, because I don't know how to put it into words, but I felt something, you know, this morning, yesterday, but this morning, and I'm kind of scared I may feel it tomorrow, and I don't know what that is, but what I do... appreciate is, you know, I get in my car and I can or in the house and I blast something and I'll blast some music and it does heal me, but we can't deny that we are feeling something. And I'm asking you, how are you dealing with what you're feeling every morning when you wake up in the world that we're dealing with right now?
My first breath, I give thanks.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing I do. That's the first order of affairs with me, no matter what's happening. If I draw breath, then I give thanks. Mm-hmm. I give thanks on behalf of my mother. I give thanks on behalf of this music. And by the time I get through giving thanks, brother, I can see beyond the end of the tunnel. And I don't waste what I can't make, and that's time. So I continue to do what and as the ancestors ask me to do. So currently I'm thoroughly engrossed in writing a piece that the ancestors said will change the dynamic of society. And it's a piece called The Jonah People. It's an opera called The Jonah People, a legacy of struggle and triumph. And that's what I put all that I have into this work, because it is a work given by the Creator and by the ancestors to make sure our babies know that without Toussaint L'Ouverture and without the power of Boukman, we would not be in this land having this conversation.
Right, right.
So that's what I'm busy doing. I'm doing the work of my Lord, brother, and that is to give our great grandchildren a feast of knowledge and wisdom that we have not had. Mm-hmm. The work, what it is giving to me and teaching me, and I must say this, it's only coming to me because when I was about to kill that white man who jumped on me, brother, what I felt as a human being when I saw the life going out of him, that hurt me more than the pain that they inflicted on my body. Because my grandfather always said, never kill anything that you can't eat. That's why I didn't join this man's army and go to Vietnam and kill these sacred souls. Because I can't make them and I can't eat them. And go to kill them for people who are supposedly in the great, holding the highest office in the land, being the villain and the liar and the conniving lost soul that Richard Nixon was and is, and what he has put into the universe.
Hannibal?
Yes.
I've heard the word breath a lot this evening.
Oh, man, yeah.
Do you know what else? That's also what George Floyd couldn't do, or Eric Garner. But the air is for everyone.
And brother, you know, for certain, we don't breathe just for ourselves. We don't take a breath just for ourselves, because we don't. It's not because of us that we are alive and that we do breathe. It's because of Magna. It's because of Fannie Lou Hamer. That's why I always write these pieces about them. Because every time I breathe for them too. I breathe last for myself.
Wow. Amazing. Yeah.
Thank you.
But our music, all that we need is in our music. All of our rituals that were taken is in our music. And that's why that is worth dying for.
Thank you, Brother Animal.
Yeah, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
It's Hannibal Lokumbe. Powerful stuff. You're listening to Acknowledgement, How Music Responds. This is listener-supported public radio. A convening space for these conversations. This is just the beginning.